Lost the cast 2-5-0. We made it this far. And everyone has been just a delight.
Every one of them.
They are. They're so fun.
Treasure.
Yeah, that's true.
They're so fun. Pat, thank you for bringing me the breakfast sandwich.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Required to power me through this.
Power through. And the Americano, which was supposed to be a medium, but it was a small. And he said, oh, I totally gave you the wrong size.
You got an Americano for me? Yeah. Don't give me Americano anymore. Just get a regular coffee there because they're a little pricey.
Oh, okay. Well, he says, well, there's still two shots in the small and the medium. So if you have to, just add hot water to it.
There you go.
So,
well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I like Happy Belly coffee. Yeah. Kim, thank you for the potato salad.
Oh, potato salad. I made a batch to bring to a party, so.
So thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Thought you were roasting today.
I'm going to be barbecuing some chicken thighs in a little bit.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It is October 5th. There is Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz here.
It's November 5th.
What did I say?
October.
Oh, I'm still thinking. I'm in birthday mode. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't want to correct you. That's why I whispered.
It's November 5th, right?
But Pat said it right out loud.
Yeah, I did. I said it right out loud because, well, election day's coming, so we have to make sure we know it. And this is going to be a historic episode, so we want to make sure we've got it properly noted.
Thank you. November 5th, 2017, Podcast 250. And we get Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz, and we have Kim Smith here.
Good morning,
Glaz. Good morning, Glaz.
So, first order of business, shout out, the Cape Ann Community Cinema has been kind enough to provide two tickets to the first person. Actually, I'd pick randomly one of the people that shares the podcast on Facebook. So if they share the podcast, they have a chance to get two free tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. They are our sponsor for the podcast. And in the show notes, at the very top of the show notes, you can click right in the link to go directly to their website and to see all the movies that are currently and coming up there. And then he always does a good job with the trailers, so you can see what the movie's about.
Oh, okay.
Else.
Good.
So there's that. My Kate.
Oh, she's amazing.
Just absolutely took me out at the knees with an awesome surprise of a 50th surprise birthday party at Mile Marker. You guys were there.
We were there.
I don't know how, you know how like there's surprise parties, but you wonder if the person actually had any kind of inkling.
We were all wondering that.
Is he really surprised?
Yes.
Well, my actual birthday was a week ago.
Yep.
And I absolutely had no idea, and I don't know how she could have got this many people in on it and me into the building without knowing.
What did she tell you?
So this is how
let it roll out.
Kim knows this because I already told her.
I'm sorry, but I didn't.
But I'm going to tell you how this went down. Friday morning, we had the bait truck come. The bait truck comes, a big trailer truck. It comes at 3 o'clock in the morning so we can get it offloaded before our boats go fishing. So I got up at 2:30 in the morning, Friday morning, and the days have been long days. I didn't get out till 7 o'clock at night. It's our weekend without the kids because we're both divorced and we have our kids every other weekend. So we didn't have our kids this weekend. And I've talked about my Clue app before, which talks about you track your, it's usually for women to track their cycle when they're trying to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, I use it to track her cycle because there's certain times of the month where she is a little more amorous, shall we say?
All right.
And it's so it shows you your most fertile time, mm-hmm, on a timeline. It goes in a circle, and it shows you when the PMS is going to strike,
mm-hmm,
and it shows you when the period is going to strike.
Mm-hmm.
So
when it's going to strike.
That's kind of an interesting language, don't you think?
Well, you showed me the app and it has clouds.
It has clouds over the PMS. And so no one talks about this, and I don't know why they don't talk. Like people in, like, men would be better prepared for what is going to happen
in
their life.
Jim really could have used a warning signal plan.
It's so crazy accurate. So when she goes into her like most fertile phase, she's incredibly amorous, mm-hmm. shall we say? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing air quotes, okay. amorous. And it's nice to know to mentally prepare myself to stay extra awake those particular nights, or prepare myself to not be sleepy those nights. It's also nice to know when they enter the PMS phase and maybe they're not making so much sense in their rationales over certain things.
You step very carefully.
Right?
Okay.
But you know, like, if there's any kind of crazy talk, you look at, you know, and if you look at the app, you just say, okay, I know where this is coming from, because because really, like, so a lot of, my guess is a lot of women would, like, if you took this app out of the equation and you say, you know, if you can't, a man can't say that a woman acts crazy during her PMS period. Mm-hmm. But it's clear that this app, like, following for the past year, is spot on. So I don't care what anyone says. In my instance, because I will speak to my instance, with this app, it has provided great, great knowledge of what's going to happen in my life. So knowing, Kate knowing that I was up at 2:30 and had a long, arduous day on Friday.
Right, we were worried about that part.
And having this big party plan, surprise party plan for me, I texted her at 6:30 and said to her, you know, I'm really tired. Do you want to come, you know, I'm almost done with work. Want to head down here at 7, come down to the wharf. I'm in my fishy clothes. Let's just go grab a burger and go to bed early tonight, which sent her into big time panic.
Right.
How am I going to explain that you need to be at Biomarker, a place that I don't normally go to?
Right.
We all knew that. So she sent that all out to everybody. Yeah.
So you knew that. So she sent that out to you. I don't know. How is she communicating to you guys?
It's not on an app, I can tell you that.
She had a special Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
Joey's 50th birthday, surprise birthday party Facebook page.
So she texts me back and says, no, I'd really like to go out, and I even got dressed up for you. So now when she tells me, when my app had alerted me earlier in the day,
gotcha.
Saying it was her fertile time, okay. and on top of that, she says, I even got dressed up for you, I'm thinking,
okay. yeah,
it's go time. You know, I'm tired, but this is going to be worth my while to go out for a nice dinner, because the pay, you know, it is, we're going to, you know, it's going to be a good night, right? So she says to me, her father, we affectionately call him Bippy, because that's what her son calls him. We went to Mile Marker a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about he loves the Reuben sandwich at Mile Marker. Okay. So she says, my father's here, and he wants to take us out for, they're at Mile Marker, they want us to meet them there. And he's the kind of guy that if he likes something, he'll go there every single week for at the same exact time. So that's how she got me there.
Nice.
Because is totally believable.
Right. That
her father would be obsessed about this sandwich, and that's how, you know, and he said he's going to take us out for dinner. So,
but that is so awesome that, you know, with all that and still with everybody knowing,
I had no idea. I had no clue at all. As a matter of fact, I walked in and everybody was, I didn't see anyone except for my sister. So I just, at that point, she said surprise. It still didn't register to me because I randomly ran into her and my brother-in-law Barry a couple of weeks ago at the Franklin. So I'm like, oh, what a coincidence.
Right.
We just happened to run into them again.
Yeah.
I didn't see anyone else.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm like 20 steps into Mile Marker, I still had no idea that there were 75 people around the corner.
There were so many people
there. There was a ton of people, yeah.
Well, we had to keep the guys at the bar quiet because the DJ kept announcing.
Yeah,
the party was about to begin. Joey is ETA, 5 minutes till Joey time.
We have a text.
It was like 8 o'clock. By the time I got there, it was like 7:45.
So we, all the guys sitting at the bar going, Joey who? and then they were saying, oh, Joey. And so we, right then, a bunch of us were assigned that when as soon as you didn't walk in, somebody didn't walk up to you and saying, happy birthday.
Oh, look at
all the guys. So they thought of everything. We actually had to keep the bar intact.
Because most people came at 7. Because you know how like you want people to be there when
right before you get there. You don't want to see people walking in and stuff.
So most of us came at 7. So
it was awesome.
There were so many people there.
Nice to see your friends there.
It's so nice to see everyone. Really special for me. A lot of guys that I hung out with in my 20s when I was single, that live in Boston now, they came up.
Oh,
you know, made
nice.
The trek and you know, coming. They all have kids now to make the trip. You know, it's,
yeah.
It was very, very, very special.
One of those Instagram pictures was all those guys, right?
Yeah. Rob Myrack and D Smalls and the Rabbit. Everybody knows the Rabbit from the blog. They may not know D Smalls and.
Rabbit lost weight?
He wears certain types of clothes that hide his big gut better than other things. But yeah, he's a professional.
I knew who he was right away. I'd never met him before, but I knew who he was right away. From his personality more than, it's not so much that I recognized him from pictures, it was more his personality.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I know, that's got to be the Rabbit. That's got to be him right there.
Yeah.
And then it was...
But you know, it was great. My sister had said that she knew that I was bummed out for turning 50. There was never a time I was bummed out for turning 50. I know, you know, I was bummed out turning 30. When I turned 30, I was really bummed out about that. I haven't like worried about age.
Were you bummed out that there was no, like we had our little podcast party?
Right.
I really wasn't. I really wasn't bummed out about anything. Because I'm so happy in my place in life right now, you know, and being settled with Kate. The girls, my daughters are doing fantastic. You know, I get along with my ex. So everything is great, you know. But I thank you to everyone that came out. And thank you. I got a lot of really, you know, it was weird. Thank you for gifts and everything. I got some really generous gifts. And like I didn't even know you're supposed to give gifts like people give generous gifts.
That's so nice.
So thank you to everybody that gave me all these generous gifts and stuff.
How nice.
It was very sweet.
I was kind of like, you didn't know I had to do that. Just people being there was enough. So that's just
I don't know if you're going to be putting that app, you know, as something out there with that app, the one that you use in there, called Clue.
Yeah. You type into the Google Play Store or the Apple, the Apple
App Store.
If I ever mentioned that Clue app, my phone would be buried somewhere and probably where I don't want it to be buried.
in your butt? Like,
I didn't say that, but thanks for giving her that suggestion.
No, it's a helpful thing.
Oh, it's a great thing.
So why do you think that it's a bad thing to that they would know, that you know?
I don't think I could. She would read it. She would figure it out that I know.
No, when
you can take notes, but it also allows you to so you could put in the symptoms.
Yeah.
So she'll tell me. Kate will tell me. You know, tender breasts or, you know, like. You know.
Yeah. Whatever.
When certain things happen throughout the course.
Yeah.
It's really helpful. I find it very helpful to mentally prepare myself for the highs and the lows.
Yeah, support.
Or to know if something is like, you know, seems off or something,
just to
give her space.
Right.
I think that's helpful. I think that's, really helpful. Don't you think that's helpful? Wouldn't you find that helpful to, like, if you're like not in a good thing, they just say,
yes, I think,
just
yeah.
like, just, you know, I just kind of like, give me my space. I know I'm being crazy right now. You know, go do your thing.
That ship has sailed, you know, for us. But if at the time he had that, he'd be the one pulling out his phone going, oh, I get it, right in front of me. Oh, I get, now I understand.
So it's bad. And so are you. But it helps them understand, too.
Then he would have found.
But I think it's helpful to, I think it's helpful. But I think it's helpful for the girl, too, though. So she realizes what she's saying doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Right?
Believe me, we know it.
You know it, but you don't
want to
admit it.
You know it, but you can't.
You can't control it.
You really can't.
No, I know. That's why it's good for the guy to know. But that's why it's good for the guy to understand that.
Right.
You know, instead of just saying this woman is bananas, no, she has no control over the stuff that they're saying.
Can't control it, really. Not really.
Kim has been awfully silent on this whole thing.
I just find it very interesting. That's all.
That's a very political answer right there. Like a politician, that's how they would answer that.
I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting. Like you, I mean, I think that this is something that works for you and Kate. Like you are very verbal about all these things. Like,
do you not think communication is the key to a successful relationship?
Yes, I do. But for me personally, I don't just generally talk about these things. I'm happy to listen to discussions about it, but I don't just really talk about things like that. So,
yeah,
that's all.
Couples communication.
I think it's helpful. I think this is like a public service announcement. I think it is helpful. I mean, I'm not joking. I'm not even in the littlest bit sincere. I think like communication and knowing what's happening rather than just kind of like hush-hushing it and like acting like the elephant in the room isn't the elephant in the room.
Well, I didn't know about the app, so I thought it was very interesting. So
I think it's interesting too.
So, I don't know.
But the party was awesome.
The party was
awesome.
So many people. Felicia's cookies were a big hit.
Huge hit. She's still good with those cookies too. People are really responding. They're good. You know what? For any occasion, this is a. So you know how like there's weddings and you go to like you have to buy the, you know, the certain things from the vendors and the vendors charge you like stupid money because there's the word wedding attached to it.
Right.
So that everything is quadrupled.
Yeah.
She does these highly, nothing could be more personalized than what she's doing, and charging very reasonable and it's so much more personal than
That's great. You know? She seems to clearly enjoy it, so that's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So there's that. So my surprise party was awesome.
And Mile Marker did a great job.
Yes, Rebecca D'Amico, who used to participate in the Bikini Speedo Dodgeball Tournament, was part of those.
She's there at the.
She's like the event coordinator.
Oh, okay.
She and at one time she was the event coordinator for the guys at the farm.
Oh, okay.
So that's how she was involved with the Bikini Speedo Dodgeball back then. Great person, great event. So and Kate said that she was so great to work with. It's a great room. That back
that's,
room there.
That's very.
It was a great room because
they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Huh?
I can imagine it in the summertime too. Like with all.
Well, the summertime. See, I think right now is a perfect time to do it because people don't think to go there.
Yep.
It's kind of semi outdoors, but it's not really outdoors.
Yeah.
So we kind of had a private party that we didn't have to clean up after.
Right. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Right? And it was 95% of the people in there were our people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender, you know, and so we had all this service and it was just great.
Yeah, worked out really well.
Really
done a nice job down there.
Right.
They did a great job.
Kudos to Kate,
thanks to Felicia and everybody that helped out. We just got Jamie O'Hara is taping a podcast with us as part of our invitation to any of the city councilors that are running to come in. There's one more day. If anybody needs to get in, they need to contact me ASAP so we can get your
one more
thing there. We haven't played any favorites.
Yeah, it's been a very fair, open, great. It's been a great opportunity for us to because I love the debates that they did, but. Those are 90-second responses.
Almost like sound bites.
Right.
What I wanted to say was I think it is extremely important, and I'm going to, after we get done taping this podcast, KPAN TV provides a great service for our community. They have gone to these debates, taped them, and put them onto YouTube. I'm going to grab these YouTube clips and post them at the top of the blog.
Oh, that's an idea.
I think it is so over the top important for people to listen to these to Bates, because you might think that you know what each of these counselors is all about, but I'm going to tell you, they were eye-opening to me about certain candidates' stances on topics that were important to me, that absolutely swayed the way I was going to vote.
Yeah, that's great.
So everybody needs to make, the more informed decisions we make, the better counselors we're going to have serving. So please listen. If you carve out time for anything before you actually go
before
vote
Tuesday.
On Tuesday,
right.
Please listen to at least one of these debates that KBAN TV hosted on YouTube.
Speaking of debates, should talk about the Great Walkout.
Okay, go ahead. So Sapathia, which you could talk about, you could say what a waste of money it was to have this run of this guy that has no chance of winning versus Sapathia, but that's democracy,
right?
But they had a debate, the debate that happened, mayoral debate, over at Cape Ann,
Gloucester Stage.
And so go ahead.
The first hour was the two Ward 2 councillors debating, and then was the mayoral debate. And so I was not there. I'd just been there the previous night for the councillors' debate. But it was, right away, it was all over social media that towards the end of the debate, I think during the part when they, do the summaries, Sapathia walked out, and then shortly thereafter, the whole entire audience walked out.
And gave her a round and loudly applause for her,
right?
Because the guy was saying,
he's just so
ridiculous.
It's just, without saying anything really unkind, it's just inappropriate for him to. It's just would not be a good thing.
I felt like this. I feel like she's in an absolute no-win situation, having to go to that debate with some guy that has no chance of winning.
Right.
Because if she doesn't go, she would have gotten called out for not facing her opponent.
Right.
She does go, and then she has to listen to a bunch of crap.
Crazy talk. Yeah. It's just plain crazy talk.
So I think she did the right thing in walking out.
Right. So for example, if next year, in 2 years, if they have to, if she's, running unopposed or just opposed by this person, I don't think she would have to go to their debate.
I think that people would have this in their memory and say, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this?
Right.
So
yeah, that's pretty amazing that the whole audience
left.
You don't.
I think somebody said just poor Bob Viznik was just sitting there. He was the
moderator.
Right. So
and he
that's
I kinda read that.
Did you see
he
it?
Didn't know. No, I just read,
oh, you read about it.
And also KBAN TV is not airing that debate. And I'm really glad about that, because I don't know, did you see this? I mean, we didn't talk about this in the notes, but that did you see the thing about Lester Holtz being in, have you seen that?
I read on Facebook that he was here to revisit the 10th year anniversary of the pregnancy pact. Is that what
right.
it was?
Right, yes. And Jen Collins, she's a very reliable source. She ran.
Yeah.
She bumped into him on the way out. So I just don't think Gloucester needs any, if KBAN TV aired that debate, It could just add to the super, all the crazy things that are going on, just add more,
It's just sad with all the incredible positives, the over-the-top positive stuff that's happening here. So we gotta, that we get subjected to.
It's crazy. What a beautiful school, West Parish School is. What a beautiful, beautiful, positive thing for the community, and it's just got so besmirched like that.
Yeah.
It's really.
So anyway, we had a major storm last weekend.
Yes.
Right.
It was a southeaster. Southeaster, right.
As opposed to what we normally get this time of year is a
northeaster. Right. So what I read, and I would like to read more about it because I don't know if it's entirely accurate, our trees have adapted to grow into a nor'easter. They can withstand the winds coming from that direction, which makes them grow more heavily on the side that faces into the wind. Whereas when a sou'easter comes, which is very unusual for our area with super strong winds like that, it easily topples trees over in that direction. I don't know, all the trees that I saw were kind of going in the same direction. Our grass was, I've never seen this before, our grass was so flattened, it was just all going in one direction. But my question is, like, what kind of trees did people lose? Most trees that I saw people lose were oak trees. And oak trees are super special. They're, if you look at trees, how they support wildlife, oak trees are at the top of the list of
Were those
importance.
Trees there for a long time, would you say? The
yes,
ones that you saw?
The ones that I saw.
And you,
right.
You took some pictures.
I took some pictures, a whole bunch over at the Eastern Point Yacht Club, for
I always
example.
Thought that oak trees were the symbol of being, like, really deeply rooted
right,
and
right.
strong.
Right.
Oak, strong as an oak, right?
So in your opinion, how old do you think those were?
I'd say that they were at least 75 years old, the oak trees that I saw come
wow.
down. And they
wow.
see, oak trees all can also have roots on the top of the surface of the soil. So I'm wondering if people were mulching their trees, and mulch can, you know, especially when people make volcano mulch, it causes root rot. So anyway, so the majority of trees that I saw were oak trees. So I would love to hear from people. Maybe I'll do a post about
mm-hmm.
it. Like
I think
what,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, like what kind of trees did you lose? And, you know, how old were they? And because I just think it's just very interesting. What are ways that we could prevent this from happening again? Because with global climate change, things, I mean, this isn't going to, these kind of storms aren't going to abate. We're just going to keep on getting.
Storms, I mean, there's been storms. For years.
Yeah, storms for years, but you don't see like 10 trees on one little piece of property toppled over. You know what I mean? That's very, very, very unusual. So,
yeah. Yeah, it was pretty wild. Some of the pictures, you know, whenever you have these kind of unusual storms, in Hamilton, there was a house, this big old, I'm just going to say it, Victorian, but
right.
whatever it was, just this beautiful, it might have been Georgian, but whatever it was, this pristinely preserved, really old, really big, gorgeous house on like the main thoroughway in Hamilton.
Route 1A.
1A or
1A,
something.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And this tree that had the diameter of the trunk of the tree was probably three and a half feet wide, maybe four,
wow.
not four.
Wow.
Four would be
wow.
that. Yeah.
Uprooted.
Like that, like
yeah.
3.5 feet wide.
Uprooted.
No, toppled, went down and grazed the side of this house that took out like a vestibule that came out of the side of the house where the entranceway,
mm-hmm.
just grazed it by probably like 4 inches.
Oh my God.
That if it had been,
wow.
if the house was in the middle of that, it would have
just
gone
through
the middle of the house.
Wow.
Just think, your description is making me think about what the sound must have been when that was happening. If you were inside the house or even, you know, in a neighboring house, what that must
yeah.
have
sounded
like.
Oh.
Must have sounded like the world was ending.
Right, like a train roaring.
Yeah.
Kate always said, oh, that big tree, that's going to come down. I'm like, that tree's been there for 75 years. That tree's been there for 100 years. What makes you think, this is going to be the storm? But the thing of it is, eventually, one day, she's going to
be right.
And she's
yeah.
going to tell me, I told you so. It's funny. It's so funny. So I didn't know about this. The Gloucester Times reported that there was some treasure. They raised the Hannah Jumper house,
right.
and they found some. What did they find underneath?
They found coins from the late 1700s and early 1800s. So they must have fallen down into the floorboards. They also found a brass buckle and.
Did they show pictures of it? Of the
yeah,
coins?
Yeah, of the coins. Yeah, in the Gloucester Daily Times.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And
so they're building a foundation.
Yeah, they gave the guy permission to go in
yes,
there with a metal detector.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And because he'd been, I guess he detects, he calls it, he says he he detects everywhere. I guess that's what you call it when you use a metal detector.
Does he get to keep it? Did he turn it over to the Cape Ann Museum?
That was not clear in the story, like who gets to keep it. Because he got permission from the owner, but did the permission include anything you find?
Geez, a 1632 coin, you think is...
You never know how those things are going to go. You saw the thing about the orangutan or something that took a selfie?
Right. And the selfie has been used in like a bazillion memes over the course of...
Right.
And
the guy had his camera set up in the jungle and the animal came over and...
So there was a lawsuit brought against
the
guy for using the monkey's photo without...
He's saying
the monkeys should get the any monies that are collected from the...
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The copyright belonged to the monkey in the picture.
No, the guy won, though.
I think it got overturned. I'm almost sure. Oh, you mean he won on an appeal?
I think he won on an appeal.
Oh, okay. All right. Because initially,
thank goodness,
it was decided that...
Because that's pretty sad.
But he probably had to spend a fortune to defend it.
It belonged to the monkey,
That's pretty sad for
it. It is a pretty spectacular picture, but...
Right, but also that's pretty sad for any photographer or filmmaker, like, you know...
Right.
Am I going to have to give all my proceeds
like the monkey was exploited.
Am I going
to have to give all my proceeds?
But you never know how those rulings are going to go in cases like with the Hannah Jumper house coins.
Yeah. So I drove by it yesterday, and it does look really awesome. I didn't take a picture because Mary Barker sent us some photos.
Nicole posted
some pictures, so I didn't realize at first it was this one in the same place. But when you do drive by it, you can just see right there to the ocean. Yeah. It's really awesome. So.
Another kind of controversial thing that Catherine Ryan's been like really on top of is that museum... Is it Western Mass?
It's the Berkshire Museum where they commissioned me to make a film there and about butterflies, and my film played there for like 6 months, and it showed Cape Ann and the lighthouse in a really beautiful way.
So they have this Edward Hopper collection, right?
It's Norman.
Norman Rockwell.
Norman Rockwell, right.
Collection that they're looking to sell.
Right. So when you go into the museum, you make a beeline for these beautiful Norman Rockwells. I mean, and they were given to him either by the artist or by the artist's sons. I don't remember.
At this museum.
At the museum. But now, as I've seen this happen so many times, it makes me so mad. They're saying that they need it to
expand,
but they're probably in that expansion. I'm just talking out the side of my mouth, but I've seen this happen so many times.
Speculation.
I'm speculating that they're rolling big debts that they might have into the expansion, and then they're saying, you know, advertising it.
Rolling big what?
Debts.
Oh, debt. Okay,
right.
I thought you said deck.
Right. Debt.
Debts. Yeah.
Into the expansion.
Yeah.
So, and then this is an excuse for them to sell it to bail themselves out. Now, I'm just talking.
Right. You don't know.
I don't know, but I've seen this happen so many times, and so my understanding is that the sons, because this story plays a lot on National Public Radio as well, that the some family members are opposing it, but then another family member is not opposing it.
Oh.
So it's just a sad, sad way to deal with things, because that museum does not need to expand in that community, to be honest with you. It's plenty big enough. It's not like there's a line down the street with people trying to get in there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's beautiful. They have an older section. They have a newer section. They have a theater. I mean, it's really, really nice. It's not, you know, I don't know, but I just think, wow. I've seen this happen in my husband's own family, and it was a terrible, tragic thing that happened. And I just don't think that museums, the way to solve a problem is not to sell your assets. your biggest assets.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's pretty that's pretty low hanging fruit as far as everyone is going to be against that, right? Like, who's saying, "Oh, this is a great idea"?
Let's sell the North.
These guys, I mean, as far as villains go.
Right.
like in a movie. Like there's clear cut villains here, and like you could portray like
Boris and Natasha are over here. Bullwinkle and Rocky are over here.
You know what? It's exactly like if the Cape Ann Museum said, "Oh, we want to expand, so let's sell our Fitzhenry Lane."
Which makes the whole thing go right.
People, right? Like you know, okay, what? You know what I mean? Like, why would you do that?
So what is the end? I go, okay, I'm trying to find play the devil's advocate. What are they supposed to do if they have run up a ton of debt and they don't have money to keep the place open? Okay, so that's the devil's advocate. So what do you say to that?
Well, there are other things that could be sold. Sell a few more of them. The whole area is frankly depressed. Like, you know, you go through the main street. I've been there. It looked like a lot of main streets in Western Massachusetts, just very, very, very quiet.
Old mill towns.
Right, old store fronts, empty. It's Pittsfield, Massachusetts. I mean, it's in a beautiful, beautiful area. They just need, I would say, what usually happens in museums is they get rid of the development director at that time when things are desperate, instead of hiring another development director and putting all their resources into, you know, big capital fundraising programs, you know, just make yourself go out there and raise the money that way, not selling your assets.
Sometimes that's what I get myself in trouble. I've seen some organizations that seem to have very outspoken and powerful people leading them. The board member, the board, and has control over the board, that nothing is really happening with these assets, these buildings or these places. And it seems like whenever some new blood wants to go there and actually do something, they're always told, "No, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that." And I always, and like in my head, I'm scratching my head saying, "Are they afraid that they're going to lose control of this place to someone that has more energy, fresher ideas, and they're not willing to put in the work, but they love being the person that gets the title of being the director?"
I think you're right about that. I think you're 100% right about that.
You know,
sometimes I wonder what happens in places where a museum or has an assets whose cost to maintain their security, as required by the insurance companies, or peace of mind, or you know whatever the other parameters are. What happens when you can't afford that anymore?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I don't know if that was ever a great consideration at the Isabella Gardner Stewart Museum. Did you read about the big heist? In New York, you don't know about the big heist that happened there about 20 years ago, but they didn't have sufficient security at the Isabella Gardner Stewart Museum, and they stole a Vermeer. Some psycho came in, slashed paintings out of their frames, and there's only 20 Vermeers in the whole entire world. You know what I mean? There weren't funds adequate enough to have the proper security there, and so they have rectified that. But
they probably have the best security.
That's got to be a concern for curators
I agree. But you know.
I don't think that's the case with these.
Right. Well, the only things worth, I shouldn't say the only things, but the main things worth securing would be the Norman Rockwells that are there. But, you know.
So this is not the Norman Rockwell Museum? It's a different museum?
It's a different museum, but these were given to the Berkshire Museum. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I don't know, I can't remember if it was given by Norman Rockwell or by his heirs. I don't recall.
I'm gonna link to Catherine's post where you can read more about it. She does great. I was just thinking this morning. I was scrolling through the blog and I see some of her posts, and I just say we are really lucky to have her.
I agree.
She does some incredible work, researching and photographing and sharing this great news. She's very talented. We're lucky to have her.
Oh, and did you talk to her? She was very bummed out about your birthday party. So she accidentally wrote down a different day, and I think that was confusing for a lot of us, because you did too.
Yeah, I did too.
Originally, Kate had it on a certain day, and then it had
at a certain place.
At a certain place.
Right.
And then it had to switch.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I think that's why she...
Oh, because if they would have seen the original invitation, they just... That was the
right.
party.
Yeah, right. that's what we did.
And if you didn't look back on it and read,
but also, I don't think Catherine's on Facebook, so she probably wouldn't have seen that.
We actually didn't see any of those either. We were just in the email loop. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I made
you,
an email.
You helped
right.
with that.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. Anyway.
There you go. Well, we missed her, but she's always in our thoughts.
Yes.
I like it when she comes on because she can speak. She could have spoke to the the Rockwell thing.
Yes,
I know she's very passionate about it. You could tell in her coverage.
I think she doesn't want to see them. I mean,
I get it.
She doesn't want to see them.
Yeah,
sold.
And that's pretty low hang. Like I say, that's low hanging fruit. Like the villain and the you know. So anyway.
I like your expression, low hanging.
It's just
you've used it a few times for the counselor's meeting, and
I don't use it in the right. When I say that, when the counselor interviews, it's really not the right term.
Not quite right.
Well, it can,
but it's it
gets
conveys the message.
It conveys the message. Like, what would you like to do? Like, what are some of the obvious things that you know you'd like to see happen?
Well, I've found myself using it a few times lately. Some low hanging fruit.
Pat brought up brought something up that 100 years ago at election time, voting such as for the council was changed to preferential style voting. So what does that mean?
Preferential style voting, which I thought was really interesting, considering that you have the 7 candidates for the 4 spots, is to vote and rank your votes.
Oh.
Rank them.
You don't rank them for the city council.
Not in 2017, but in 1917 you did.
Oh, so that's how they used to.
So wait, I'm confused.
So
they changed it.
1917. It was the first year they did it, and I don't yet know when they stopped, because that's not how you do it now.
Right.
Okay.
So it was okay. So the way this was written was changed to preferential style. And has since then been
changed
again.
Back again.
Okay.
It had previously been your typical what you typically see in a voting process, where you select your candidates.
Okay.
Then, for some reason, it was changed so that people could rank their choices.
That's interesting.
And
so
I found it really interesting in light of this.
Discussion.
And of these 7 candidates for the 4 spots, and there seems to be a lot of talk about those 4 spots.
Right. I would like it to go back to preferential.
It's kind of, apparently it's a very common...
Well, if there was preferential, then there would be less need for people that have seemed to be adopting the bullet voting, where if there's 4 spots, but you really feel strongly about 2 or 3 of the candidates...
Right.
That you only filled in the
you're not obliged to fill in all 4 spots.
Obliged to fill in the other 2.
Right.
It's not 4 or nothing.
Right. That's interesting to me. What we learned was that it's better to just leave, you know.
If you feel very strongly.
If you feel very strongly about 3, you know, or whatever the number is, don't just fill in the blank. Feel pressured to put a 4th candidate in because then.
You could actually be cutting out one of the ones that you really.
I think people want to fill in 4 spots, and if they realize
they don't necessarily have
to, and it might be harmful.
Right.
Yeah, it might negatively impact the people that you like for your votes. Then that's interesting.
The whole
voting process thing is just very interesting. I'm going to dig a little more into it to see if I can find out. I found out a couple of other very interesting stories that you'll be seeing on the blog coming up soon, but I don't know why they went back. So.
I hope we get someone. I don't want not put any pressure on anybody here. I hope we get someone to go down to City Hall.
I'll be there Tuesday.
Will you be there election night? And
yeah.
you'll blast out the results right away.
Yeah.
We'd like to beat everybody on those.
Okay.
Feel free to sticky them. If you get the election results?
I don't know if I can do that from my WordPress app.
Oh, you don't have the only I do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's all right. I'll stick you in a few.
You stick them, yeah.
If you post them and then text me.
Yeah.
Or what time does that end up?
Can you just look? Can you look? Will you be here?
Does it close? Voting close?
8:00.
8:00.
Well.
So I'll be there, and I have a little secret spot there where I can, because there's a kind of bad service down there.
Okay.
So anyway,
we'll talk about this afterwards.
Okay. Yeah.
Look for our election results to beat everyone else's brains out.
I'll definitely be there.
Yeah. Kim will be on the spot. This is something. I was at, you know how I was talking about how I was craving a burger at the night of what ended up being my surprise party? So yesterday after soccer, after my daughter's soccer game, I was coming back into town. I was still craving that burger from Pier 23. And we went, and Eric Lorden met me, my buddy Eric. And we got to talking about places that use Hunt's ketchup as opposed to Heinz ketchup. And then taking it a step further, use Pepsi products instead of Coca-Cola products because they're a little bit cheaper.
Go back. So Heinz and Pepsi are cheaper than Hunt's and Coca-Cola?
No, Hunt's and Pepsi are cheaper than
Heinz
and Coca-Cola products.
Okay.
So we got to talking about it, and I 100% agree with him, but I don't take it to the extreme. He says that he will walk out of a restaurant that if he knows that they use Hunt's ketchup and Pepsi products.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it speaks volumes.
It does. He's right about that. I'm going to say he's right about that.
I agree with him 100%.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's interesting, but also
there must be other little signals too.
Both of those are sweeter. Like I've taste tested Coke versus Pepsi, and Pepsi is definitely sweeter than Coke. Coke has a little bit more of a kick, and I think that's actually true of the ketchup as well.
I'm not a fan of regular Coke or regular Pepsi to begin with.
Yeah,
if I'm not drinking Diet Coke, I'll drink a Diet Coke occasionally, maybe like 2 or 3 times a year. But the fact is, Hunt's ketchup is so runny and gross and not even on the same planet that it shouldn't even be allowed to be called ketchup next to Heinz. When you pour out a Heinz out of a bottle, you get that nice thick.
It's very thick.
Right, and not watery and everything else. So for any restaurateur to put a Hunt's on a table just absolutely shows that they don't care about what they're putting in front of their
house. Don't worry.
What did you say, Jim?
in my post that I put up this morning, we were at Sugar Magnolias for lunch yesterday, and Jim got an omelet which he desecrated with ketchup before I had a chance to take a picture of it. And
desecrated.
So
that's the right word.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yep.
And
I did not. Okay. I dabbed.
You didn't defecate it?
No, look at the picture. Go to the evidence.
You be the
There's
judge.
There's no dabs.
Okay.
Anyway, so I don't know what kind of ketchup that was, and I don't want to know at this point, because lunch
was
wonderful.
I agree with you. It's Hunt's sauce. It's not.
You do. You know it's Hunt's because when you squeeze it, all the liquid squirts out.
Gross.
It's so gross. You know what else I'm not a fan of? And you've seen this actually at some like high-end places, like organic or what they call real ketchup, where it's like, I don't like it.
Oh, I've never
had it. Have you had this?
I've tried it a few times because, you know, you see it in the grocery store, and I don't like it as much.
Is it there's no sugar or something, maybe?
Well,
I don't know what it is, but it's...
with other sweeteners, but I don't know. I just didn't...
It's still smooth. It's not chunky,
it's not chunky or anything like that.
It's not chunky. It's not watery. It's just...
It just doesn't have the same processed flavor that Heinz gets.
Heinz has become the standard.
Okay.
And this like... all natural ketchup or whatever it is, in some good places that I really like to go to, are using it now, and Like, I will prefer to go ketchup less than
really?
Have the all natural ketchup.
I'm not that fussy about it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do Heinz mustard.
Why?
Heinz mustard is not.
Why?
Oh, it doesn't have the spices in it. It's kind of.
Do you like French's?
French's
is good.
They have more of that, again, that thicker type of stuff that you like to put on there. Or some of the others, you know.
So a couple times my husband has brought home Stop and Chop French's or Stop and Chop Grape Poupon, and it's gross.
Yeah, there's
like
a big difference.
You have to put like three times
as
much.
Right.
Yes. Like you have to put, because it's so flavorless, you need to put.
But, you know, so Heinz ketchup, I totally agree, but not with the mustard.
Interesting. I can't tell the difference between French's and Heinz mustard when we're talking about mustard.
Oh, okay.
But I'm gonna try
all the hot dogs.
I'd like to do a taste test now that you say that.
Okay, I'm ready for that.
I'd like to try that.
I could go for some hot dogs right now. Mustard.
Oh, you know what?
You used to do that.
You know something that's funny? Because I did a... I'm going to tell you what's brilliant. Did I speak about the Amazon wish list before on the podcast?
Yeah,
yeah.
I have. Okay, there was one thing that I didn't put on there. I may buy it for myself. This thing called the Slot Dog. And it's a press. So you put the hot dog down and you press it. It makes a crisscross cut pattern in the hot dogs, which makes it, when they brown up and stuff, it holds your condiments really nicely.
Oh, so it's still round. It's not cut in half.
Oh.
No. It's just an impression, like like maybe a quarter inch impression in the hot dogs.
Good.
It makes really nice hash marks on the hot dogs.
Good idea.
And I meant to put it on my wish for, there you go, for my Christmas wish list. I'm going to put it on.
You had the hot dog last night at Stone's.
Yep.
What'd you think?
Oh, I like one thing, you know, with Stone's, I always like, we talked about the peanut butter stuff they had. This one was a hot dog, and they had like some sort of relish that was fruity. I think it was a fig type of relish.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So I said to myself, I like that. You know,
I like
to add the different things.
So
the hot dog came in with the fig on it, and they had opened it up. It was an open hot dog, and they grilled it that way.
I noticed the marks on it. That's what made me think of
it was tasty.
That sounds tasty.
Hey, was it Piccadilly?
I don't think so.
Oh, the name of the?
No, the relish.
Oh, it was a fig. It was a fig type of relish. It was their, it's under their specials. One of their chefs. They all get
Jamie's
their own.
Something
I think I did something with Jamie's Dream or something. You know, you go there, you look at it. Hey, if the chef is saying this is what I would do,
you
I said, I'll try that. I mean, what the heck? I'm either going to walk back there and say, no.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to say, hey, tell me about this. So I tried that. So it was under the chef's choice.
There you go.
You know, it's funny how condiments can really make, because like, I love the tartar sauce at Woodman's. So I will go over, I'll go to Woodman's over
tartar
to get
shrimp
clams there
yeah.
because like so many people use sweet relish in tartar sauce. And I think that is just plain disgusting. And if you go to Woodman's, they make their own tartar sauce and they use dill pickles in it, dill pickle relish in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more you know, savory than sickeningly sweet. Like, why do you want to dip your fried?
I've been hearing that people are starting to go back to Woodman's. For a while, the Woodman's there was a big outcry about Woodman's because I think that at one time they started charging for like
extra
butter or something like that,
oh,
and like
yeah.
it was all over like Chowhound or you know like those
oh, wow.
message boards like.
Yeah, I never saw that. You know why I like to go there? It's because if I'm coming back and forth from places like Willowdale, it's right on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that you know, especially at the beginning of the week, they have these sandwich boards, like, you know, lobster roll special or this special or that special.
It's off-season. They have some great deals
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it really is.
Pat, this is one of your topics. I have not found this to be yet, but I've really been working so much, maybe I haven't noticed it. Usually right as soon as Halloween is over, it's Christmas time.
Yeah,
like even
right.
though it's like, you know, late October, early November,
right.
like they skip over Thanksgiving and the commercial commercials and everything. I haven't seen. I have not seen a Christmas commercial yet.
We did TV. Yesterday. And
you did?
With a Christmas song.
With a Christmas song.
Yes.
All right. What was it? What was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember what it was, but Tom goes, "Oh, there's a first Christmas song," and I don't know what it was. It was red and green and white. That's all I remember.
Yeah, we saw one about being on the naughty list is not an option. It's for Target, I think, or someplace
yeah,
like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Someplace
and,
like that.
But Target always has. I mean, Target ads are.
They're actually kind of cute.
They're worth looking.
They're
at.
They're entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh, so
but
you,
I was just
Pat's,
wondering.
Pat's question was,
question
when
day.
Are you all in for Christmas?
Yeah.
So why don't you answer the question?
For myself, I like to wait until December 1st.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
You too?
That's sometimes you after Christmas. After,
I'm going to tell you what
at
mine
least
is.
After Thanksgiving. But
right, after Thanksgiving.
But December 1st
yeah.
You know
is
what
when
mine
I'm
is?
All in.
I'll tell you what mine is.
Wait.
Yeah, go.
Even though I don't get to participate in it, Black Friday.
Yeah.
I don't participate in it, and I don't advocate getting into it.
Yeah, but that's.
But it
that's
is it's interesting
that's a,
to
that's a, yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's the transition.
Yeah,
that's the transition. It seems like in my mind.
And I know I'm all in because I get out my Christmas song playlist.
Me too.
Let that turn on.
Yeah.
Start with the decorating.
Yeah. I'll never decorate before Thanksgiving.
No.
Right, not
no,
before
no,
Thanksgiving. Oh, no, not before
that
Thanksgiving.
That's crazy talk.
Well, I've got to be honest. When I do all the Christmas lights and all that stuff outside my house and
yeah.
set things up and homework, I'll do it in November if I get a
well,
day
if
like
it's a
today.
Nice day.
Oh.
But we don't turn them on.
I don't
turn
them on.
We don't turn them on, no.
December
well,
1st. Now, some people,
well, that
they're on
sense.
Right away. You know?
Yeah. But that makes sense, especially because it's cold up there in upstate
yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
If you can
but we don't turn them on
if you're not, as long as you don't,
yeah.
you don't turn them on.
Well, we saw some Christmas decorations in at least one store downtown, so that got us thinking about
it's
it.
All about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what the number one, I'm predicting what the number one gift is going to be this winter.
Oh, okay.
And I'm fairly, I'm feeling very...
How could you know
confident
that?
About
Excuse
this.
Me. How could you know
I think that because the price point and what the thing does.
Oh, okay. All right. So.
We're early adopters in my family because I'm a gadget freak.
Right. Okay.
But the Amazon Alexa.
Oh, they taught. I was going to say the thing that you taught.
Because they're different price points.
Okay.
And there's different, but.
It does different things.
It
like
does. Well, there's. You can get a small one, little tiny one that still has, if you're in it for a bathroom,
mm-hmm.
will fill up a bathroom with sound.
Oh.
But I'm going to back up and explain what it is.
Okay.
So they are speaker systems that actually listen, and you say Alexa is the
person.
to wake up the listening part of it.
Oh, okay.
It listens, and you can ask it a question. It'll give you a reply, or you can say, play Christmas playlist or play my Thanksgiving playlist or what's the weather today? How many ounces are in a quart? How many pounds in a metric ton? Like just about anything that you want to ask it, it has an answer for. But the price...
It's like verbal Google or something.
It's verbal Google.
Right.
But also it controls smart things. Like I have mine set up to turn the lights in my house on at 3:45 a.m. and turn off at 4:01 because I come to work at 3:50 I leave the house.
Right.
So the pathway of
mm-hmm.
of me going from my bedroom out the downstairs to go to work
right.
is illuminated for me without having to worry about switches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes off because
and it's all programmed. It's all
so is it so it's somehow connected to your cloud
Wi-Fi,
also
yeah.
if it plays your music
yeah,
playlist.
It can connect to like 10 different music services. Spotify, Amazon Music, a million, like if there is a music service out there,
right.
it will connect to it
that's
and play.
A, you're right. I think you're right. That's a great, or those types of gadgets,
so,
because Google has one.
So
Google
much,
Home, but
yeah.
I think Alexa
how
one
how
is.
How much
the
are
best.
They? Like, how much
so, here's the, thing.
Okay.
You can get, there's little ones that look like a hockey puck,
right.
and they have ones that are white,
okay.
and they have ones that are black. And they're really cool, like a nice royal blue, like a light thing that turns on the top of it when it's activated,
okay.
so you know it's on. And if you leave, so I can leave a message for Kate when she gets a notification for Kate that I'd leave the note. When she gets there, she says, play notifications, and it will speak to her and say, Joey wants to remind you this, that, or the other thing.
Can you tell Alexa a message to give to Kate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I could schedule right now. I could say, because I sent Kate love notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll type it in here. Kate, Joey wants you to know I love you. And then I schedule it for a certain time, and it'll, in Alexa's voice, it'll say,
"Oh, okay.
Joey wants you to know he loves you." Yeah. So I did little notes like that every day for her.
Okay.
And then
so
you can also check in, and you could press a button to check in, and I can have, she could be in the kitchen cooking,
right?
And I could talk to her and listen, and we could have a conversation through that.
Not through your phone.
Well, I'm talking on my phone.
She's talking.
Whoever's in the room can
okay.
talk to me at that
okay.
time. Like
okay.
I could check in with the kids or whatever.
Right. Like
so,
you can talk to the whole family. Like
right. So they have like little refurb. And when I say refurbished, they come in brand new packaging. They look like brand new units. Don't ever buy a brand new one that's
okay.
not like a refurbished one, because they sell very often. They sell refurbished, the ones that look like hockey pucks for that are for a small room
right.
for like $35.
Right.
Incredible functionality. It's a speaker.
And you don't need to buy a service.
You don't need to buy a service.
Anything
at
like
all.
That. It just goes into your. You do have to have an internet, a wireless.
You have to have
internet.
Wireless internet router in your house. I mean, that's
just the thing that you have for your.
Yeah, but yeah, your regular. You wouldn't.
Right,
have.
Whatever we. I don't know, because Tom takes
yeah.
care of it all.
Yeah, you'd have that anyway in your house.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there's that. Then they have one that is the.
Like a tower.
It looks like a see your bottle water bottle
mm-hmm.
right there?
Yeah.
It's that size.
Five.
And it's a round speaker that will fill up this room more than you need for this big room that we're in.
Okay.
And this room we're in is probably 22 by 15.
Okay.
It would fill this loud music, really good audio.
Good
and
audio
has
good.
All the same functions that
really?
And that's you can get those refurbished for like $80.
Wow,
those are
so
good gifts for kids.
It's a great gift.
Yeah.
It's
that's
a
good
great,
gift.
Great
those
gift.
Are amazing with
yeah.
prices.
Yeah, and then they have one that's the Amazon Show, which has a little. It's like the same size TV screen as an iPad
right.
that you can watch videos. You can say play this, then there, and so you say show me a recipe for how to smoke a pork shoulder.
Right.
And you see we're watching the video, or you can have. I could be having a video conference with whoever's in the kitchen at that time.
And you don't need Amazon Prime for this.
You don't need Amazon Prime for it. Yeah.
No.
It's just an internet.
No, but you should have. If you're in this day and age, you don't have Amazon Prime, you're an idiot.
I don't have Amazon Prime.
You're an idiot.
No, I don't order. I hardly ever order anything.
I thought so too at first. I thought I'm not going to pay $100 a year. Whatever. At the time, it wasn't quite $100.
Wait, I don't order.
In order to save money,
you think that that's all it is?
But that,
do you
yeah,
think that
exactly,
all it is?
Exactly.
Okay, so this is why I'm going to explain
exactly.
to you. That's not why it all it is.
No,
you want to know what it is?
Okay, but also, what is annoying to me is like when I do order something occasionally. It automatically signs me up for Amazon Prime, and I see a charge on my bill, and I'm like, so then
really?
I have to automatically go. Then I have to like go back and figure out how to unsign up for Amazon.
You hit
Prime.
A button that you shouldn't hit because it doesn't. I've never heard of that happen.
Yeah.
So listen to me. I want you to understand something.
Okay.
You get like a ton of free television programs,
mm-hmm.
great movies.
I don't watch them.
That's
I don't
fine.
Have time to watch
music. A ton of free music. A ton of free
How
music.
How does it come free?
Because it's Amazon Music is, it's a free, there's millions of songs you can play for free. On your phone, on your computer, on your...
I don't use that. You
yeah.
know why?
So then maybe it's not...
Because, I love to listen to the radio. Because I like the radio because it plays a variety of music, like I don't like services where they know what you like, so they're just going to play things in your vein. When I'm driving, the time that I listen to the radio, I listen to 3 different National Public Radio stations and 3 different music stations. And so that way then I get a wide range
mm-hmm.
of things that I want to hear, and it's things I want to tune in and out of, right? So
So they have radio stations that are just like that.
Right, and but I have it already had in my car, so I don't need it again.
Okay.
When I'm listening to, when I like to own music, like I like to really own it, because if I need to download it to my computer for a film project that I'm working on, it can't come from the cloud. It has to be like a physical thing that you can own. And so I have an Amazon account for that, but I only get like 5 songs a year from them for film projects. Do you know what I mean?
You can do that. You're not paying. You can still do that. You're not paying for the music service. It's all part of the thing.
But everything I get on Amazon does not total the $99 a year, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because I think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
It does. All
right, that's fine.
So, but if I were ordering stuff all the time online, like I'm not a big shopper, if I were ordering stuff from them all the time online, I would then perhaps.
And
that's what I would use it for.
I believe you can, if you, one of your children maybe is a big shopper or whatever.
Yeah.
I believe you can share your Amazon account. Like
yeah,
we share
yeah.
it with our son.
Yeah. So
listen, you I'm not gonna
right, like,
if you if that if you feel strongly then
yeah.
you feel strongly.
No,
I'm gonna say for probably 85%.
I do a
and
lot
maybe
of
it doesn't work for you.
Okay,
yeah. I'll take that back.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you 85% of America is brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
I do a lot of shopping on Amazon.
Yeah,
I do too.
See,
and they save
yeah,
a lot of money.
Right, I know you do, but I don't.
That's
I mean,
fine. Yeah.
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 If I want to buy something, I buy it local.
I also use the Amazon to store my pictures.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it comes with a ton of free storage.
Yeah.
Free storage,
yes.
Yeah.
Because I find that, I don't know if you have this problem, you know, I have a backup service.
Right.
I'm particularly worried about my pictures and my family history stuff,
yeah.
of course.
Yeah.
And every time, I mean, the backup service, if I'm understanding it correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, the backup service backs up what's on your computer at the time that it's backing it up.
Right.
So it backs it up twice a day or whatever. So if I move a folder to a hard drive,
right.
a separate hard drive.
Right.
Physical one, you mean?
Yeah.
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 It's not backing that up anymore because it's not on my computer
anymore.
And it's gone.
Right.
I mean, it's not like because it backed it up once, it's always going to be there.
Right. No.
It's
oh,
only
doing. Yeah.
So
huh.
I need to find a
huh.
service that
huh.
that will preserve my pictures even if I move them
I
off
see.
The computer.
You know, right.
So I'm. I
that's
just,
what you use your. That's what you. Use
that's
them.
What I've just started using Amazon. It takes a little.
I lost a ton of stuff on Dropbox.
Oh,
you lost Dropbox.
That they.
What happened on Dropbox?
I don't know what happened, but they. Uh-huh. I had a lot of photos on Dropbox that did went away.
Oh,
oh
God.
That's terrible.
So, yeah.
So that do you worry about that with other, you know, like cloud or you know up in the air?
Well, I have redundancy, so
is
I do them with Dropbox. It goes, my photos go to Dropbox.
Right.
They go to Google Play.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the Google
mm-hmm.
Cloud.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they go to, and you know, I have backups over here.
Yeah.
So I mean, I have mine backed up like 3 or 4 different ways.
Yeah.
So I'm not too concerned.
So I have all my stuff on multiple external hard drives just
yeah.
because.
You have you probably, out of
oh,
everyone I know, maybe Craig Kimberly might be the only other person that has, and maybe not, has the amount of data. Like, you're shooting every day HD files, like super HD files. Those are enormous storage
capabilities. I used to buy one hard drive at a time. Now I buy 4. It's like
$1,000
every time.
That's
to
crazy.
Buy 4.
Yeah.
So all my photos are on all the hard drives around there.
So that's my ultimate end point. But
is the hard drive.
Yeah, I mean, but I have redundancy as well. But
yeah.
My ultimate end point are the hard drives.
I've had a hard drive fail. I had a hard drive fail on me.
I'm
telling you, it's like they're not anymore. I don't feel like they're any more secure than the cloud. I think the cloud is actually probably more secure.
Well,
Ken, we have to get because we're going to run out of time.
Okay.
I want you to talk about the migration, Monarch migration, and your project.
Oh,
plug your project.
Right. So So to date, I've raised $22,265.
Yay! Good job. Wow. That is great.
So I'm very
excited. That shows a lot of support.
God bless America, thank you.
Yeah. That it really does. It really is tremendous.
Yeah.
And
must
I,
do your heart good knowing
yeah.
that there's, yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think just having a lot of people interested has shown me, too, like it's really given me a lot of inspiration
mm-hmm.
as well. And, but I did just want to, so I do want to say thank you to everybody, including you too, for your contribution, and Joey very much for your contributions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I know there's some big money people out there that have given way more than we have.
Yeah, but
I mean, every little bit helps.
Right.
And you can tell that when we have, and she's down here, and like people come out of the woodwork, there are people very passionate about this project.
It's really
it's because of the way you share the information.
I think she's
people in.
She's probably curated a lot of people that never really
except
even cared.
Me,
but,
it's me.
Right, and now
I mean,
are now are totally
kind of,
all in on this,
yeah.
and are like dying to see the culmination of
that,
the, all the.
Yeah,
you know.
I was kind of interested, you know. I knew they had an interesting life cycle and all that, but now I'm like all in, like you say. I'm like,
yeah.
They're just such an amazing creature. They're
yeah.
so intrepid, and it's just an extreme. I mean, there are no other butterflies that migrate like that anywhere in the world. It's
so you mentioned a butterfly that was tagged.
Yes. So on September 1st, a butterfly was tagged in Toronto, and then the same butterfly just appeared in a garden in Mexico City, and it was photographed with the Toronto tag on it. So
I thought you said it takes 3 life cycles to get there.
No. So it takes 1, 2, 3, or 4 life cycles to go northward. Right, but this last generation, this special generation, that is emerges at the end of the summer in the northern breeding grounds, which we're part of, that takes 1 generation.
Oh.
That one, they're the special ones. They're
okay.
They are born in a state of sexual immaturity called diapause, and so they can't mate. So they are just programmed to head south. They're just that's their focus.
Yeah.
So they're not there to mate or hang out or, do you
yeah.
know what I mean? They're just going south.
They're not hanging around the Monarch bars. Listening to disco
music. Having a Monarch
music.
Shot of nectar.
They're not hanging around the nectar bars.
yeah, trying to meet their next mate.
They are drinking nectar, actually, to fortify, but they're, you know, they're very focused on going south, so... So that little monarch was in that, and I Googled mapped it, and it is exactly 2,450 miles from this garden in Toronto to the garden in Mexico City in 2 months. A little, if you look at the map too, like the ones that are born in Toronto don't end up really on the East Coast. They go, they go more through like
how, do you know how many they originally tagged
in this place
in Toronto?
I have no idea because you know what? There are so many people tagging butterflies now. It's really a good thing. And even though I don't personally like to do it, I'm very busy filming. And
how did they get something that can be red that is light enough for a butterfly to carry?
So it took many, many years to develop just the right tag. The first ones were developed by Dr. Fred Urquhart, who was the preeminent, you know, monarch specialist starting in the 1940s. He developed the first one, and then they refined it and refined it and refined it over the years, so and they know exactly where to attach it. And
our daughter works at the Erie Zoo in Pennsylvania,
and
she tags butterflies.
And she tags monarchs,
oh, wow.
Right, yeah. So
there you go.
So
Kim,
because that's part of that group.
Okay.
Kim, quickly, where can people find, well, I'll put a link to where they can donate to your film.
Okay, great. Yes,
right.
Thank you. Yeah, and also they can just go to www.monarchbutterflyfilm.com.
www.monarchbutterflyfilm.com. All right, there's Gloucester Cast 250. We made it. Boom, boom, boom. Thanks, guys, for coming.